Friends, I'm back. I know it's been a while. I know we haven't, we haven't done anything fun. We haven't really even recorded any content in, I feel like, over a year. Life was that crazy, that busy. I'm happy to be back and to be able to talk to you guys again. So, we missed so many events over that period of time. And I figured, you know what? Let's do an episode on NATO. I'm going to try to be really unbiased. I'm really just going to try to provide you information and something to think about. But this will probably be a precursor to other episodes. So I think this is a good background NATO, picture painting episode. If you don't know a lot about it, if you do, maybe it's a refresher. And maybe, maybe there's things you know about it that I don't that you could share with me. Whether it's on, like social media or whatever, go through the page. Let's get into it. So this base information, I'm literally taking it right off of the NATO website. So for sourcing purposes, this is just accessible. I typed in NATO in Google and I went to the, verified government site. So what is it? What's NATO? Political military alliance. Political, NATO members are all promoting democratic values and they consult and cooperate for defense purposes, security, they try to keep trustful relationships in the long run. They try to prevent conflict through diplomacy. Military wise, NATO is committed to peaceful resolution of disputes. If diplomatic efforts fail, it has the military power to undertake crisis management operations. These are carried out under the Collective Defense Clause of NATO's founding treaty, Article 5 of the Washington Treaty, or under the UN mandate, alone or in cooperation with other countries and international organizations. Really, NATO is just a military alliance, right? A lot of these countries, super small, right? But all together, very strong. So, activities. If you want to look into some of this, you could literally just go right on the website and it kind of goes through everything. But key events, 1949 is, the birth of NATO. That's where we see NATO come into existence. 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. NATO was, that Cold War era was really trying to protect the Europe from Soviet expansion. I guess that's really where its existence comes, but that's also where, this hostility between NATO and Russia now, that hostility never really died or went anywhere. It just hibernated for a decade or two, it's not like there was... That was so many generations ago where the people that lived the Cold War 80s and 90s are all dead. Most of those people are still in power in these countries. So, just think about that. Like, those feelings come back up. But really during the 90s, it was kind of a peaceful time, right? The Soviet Union fell. Europe's really strong. 2001 rolls around. Boom, you got Afghanistan, Iraq. NATO is now, in conflict. I was in Afghanistan under a NATO mission, and, we worked with dozens of countries. Regardless how small that country's military was, they still provided troops, resources, and equipment. So, it was cool. It was cool to work with these other places. Italy, I saw some people from Poland, worked with the Slovenians. Our Afghan counterpart is not NATO, but... Still, you get to work with them. I love my Canadian friends up north. So I guess really how many countries are in NATO currently today? Today's October 18th. There's 30. It's going to change probably by the next time we do an episode, I would guess, about NATO. So kind of look at the countries, but I want to actually throw out the size of their militaries too. I think this is really important. Because there's 30 countries, okay? I'm going to throw out there the sizes of the militaries. So, paint a picture in your head what this defense agreement looks like and who is bearing the weight of those responsibilities. I guess really before I do that though, I thought of a pretty sweet story where I mentioned the Slovenians. So, you know, everyone, you'll hear people, military or whatever, you know, hey, it's a small army, it's a small navy, it's a small air force, small marine corps. Meaning, you know, it's crazy. You might see someone from basic training and then 20 years ago see them somewhere else. You're going to run into these people throughout your career across the world, not necessarily even your, you know, domestic location or you know, the U.S. So I go to AIT, which is, it's after basic training for the Army that, you know, it's referred to AIT. It's like where you learn your job. So I was going to be a medic, a combat medic. That's what I was, you know, all excited about. Couldn't wait to do it. So I go to the healthcare specialist school. It's a 68 whiskey position, or that's the MOS. That's what the Army refers to it. 68 whiskey, it's like healthcare special, combat medic, depending what unit you're in, might depend on what, you know, kind of you're doing, what role you have. Nonetheless, you all go through the same school. Pretty big classes, you know. This was, like 2011, I think, and you have to think there's two huge conflicts going on. There were so many troops in Iraq and Afghanistan combined, I think that there was close to 100,000 at each location. So these classes were big, but I think more importantly that the whole theme was warfighter, you know, when you're done with your training, you need to be ready to go. And that's kind of what my situation was. I mean, I was going to basic, then AIT. I was going back to the New York National Guard, an infantry unit, 2108, and I already knew that I was deploying basically as soon as I got home. So, and a lot of guys had the same, you know, the same knowledge. They're like, oh, you know, we're leaving soon. So, loved it down there. Great training, really. But there were some NATO medics from other countries or NATO soldiers from other countries that were part of this program. So, in my class, there was two Slovenians. Both, and this was so long ago, I can't remember exactly what they did, but to kind of paint, like, an image of what he was telling me, he was like, him and his counterpart that were there would be more or less like, I don't want to say like SF, like special forces or something, but for his country, they were more or less, and they would do a lot of like counterterrorism stuff domestically, not necessarily foreign, but you know, they were hopped onto that NATO mission so that I'm sure they had a contingency somewhere downrange in Afghanistan or something to support if they were at the school. So he goes through the entire school with us, graduate, we go our separate ways. Fast forward, I don't know, shit, maybe a year, if that, and drive from an airbase in Afghanistan to like this smaller compound that we're going to be staying at for our duration of our trip. And, you know, we go through the gate. So we're getting kind of told, I'm like, man, those uniforms look kind of familiar. And the Slovenian army was pulling our security for us on this little compound. You know, it was called a FOB. It really wasn't. It was a couple football field sizes. It was like a cop, but it was in a really crappy location. It's just HESCOs around it. And it was kind of just plopped right on the side of the road, right between a bunch of, like, you know, two villages. But nonetheless, they pulled the exterior security on like the perimeter wall, and then they had like a small team that was working with the Afghan army next door. And I'm like, oh shit, that's cool, man. You know, say what's up, like head nod. They didn't really like us when we first rolled in. I think we replaced 4th ID, and for whatever reason, man, everyone fucking hated them. They were just in such a shitty mood when we saw them too. Like, their morale was awful. They were living on cots. They were there for a year and they did no improvements to their living state, like in living place that we rolled into. It's kind of weird. I don't know how busy they were. It seemed like everyone was kind of, all the other countries kind of didn't like them. You know, because the Italians were with us a little bit. Not really, we didn't work with them, but they were there, and then the Slovenians. But anyway, I get there, I go to the aid station. There's like two US medics on this like advisor team that they're holding down the aid station, And then there was like three or four Sylvanian medics. So I walk in, I'm a specialist, see a sergeant in there. I'm like, "Sergeant, what's up, man? Hey, you know, this is who I am. I just got here, blah, blah, blah." And then I ask one of the other dudes, I'm like, "Oh, hey, you guys know Jerry?" To the Sylvanians. And they all start laughing. They're like, "No, everybody's Jerry." Like, "What do you mean?" They're like, "When we go to the United States or when we speak English, people ask us what our name is. We say our name is Jerry." So I'm like, "Oh shit, I'm never gonna find this dude." Then I just know his name is Jerry Jancor. That was it, right? And I'm like, "Oh, you know Jerry Jancor then?" And they're like, "Yeah." And he was in the other room. Shit you not, in the other fucking room. Dude comes out. You wanna talk about a small army, talk about a small NATO. What are the chances of me being at the same base with this fucking dude? You know, what, 7,000-8,000 miles away from Texas. And his country's military is smaller than the New York State Police. And they were probably only at that location in that country. And he happened to be on the same deployment cycle as I. Like, just wild how small the world really truly is. I figured I would go through in order, or not order, but by, you know, time of these people joining. So 1949, NATO, right, comes around. Belgium, Canada, Denmark, France, Iceland, Italy, Luxembourg, Netherlands, Norway, Portugal, the UK, the US. Right, that's our, I mean, really think about it. That's the places and areas that were most affected or most engaged in the World War II against Germany, German aggression. And, you know, now you got the Soviet Union right in your face, ready to just keep rolling with people, right? With people back behind them. So look at the size of their militaries, though. Now, let's see. Belgium, total military population, 30,000. 30,000 total people in their whole military. Canada, 105,000. Not bad, right? 105,000, that's a good amount. Denmark, 59,000. France, 344,000. Iceland, 500. Italy, 355,000. Luxembourg, 1,000. Netherlands, 54,000. Give the Dutch a lot of credit. They're really good tankers. Norway, 65,000. Portugal, 263,000. I was actually surprised with that. I thought Portugal was less. UK, 231,000. The US, 2.2 million. All right. The next edition, we saw Greece and Turkey, which is interesting because I'm sure we could do an episode on Greece and Turkey's relationship. It's never been good, but NATO really prevented a lot of, you know, kind of worse things from happening. So, Greece, 368,000. Turkey, close to a million, just shy of 900,000. You know, pretty sizable. I think it's actually the second largest military in NATO, so by a lot. After that, we didn't see anybody really join NATO till 1982, and that was Spain. They have about 250,000 military size. Hungary, 66,000. Czech Republic, 30,000. They joined in 99. Poland in 99. Poland, 189,000. Bulgaria, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, the Baltics were super important for their safety right now and to really stop a new Soviet aggression that's happening that I keep talking about, but that whole Eastern Bloc. Estonia, 40,000. Latvia, 20,000. Bulgaria, 40,000. Lithuania, 40,000. Romania, 180,000. Slovakia, Slovenia, 18,000 and 9,000 respectively. Then we had Albania, Croatia in 09. Albania 8,000, Croatia 40,000. Montenegro and North Macedonia, the two most recent, is 2017 and 2020. But Montenegro was, you know, their military is 15,000 and North Macedonia is 20,000. So all together, the NATO force at its current 30 members is 6.1 million and some change, right? And that's total active reserve and paramilitary. Paramilitary, I think in some of these, you know, like Poland, for example, it shows Poland doesn't have a reserve force. They have an active force and a paramilitary force. Don't know what that means yet. I'm sure we'll figure that out in the next however many, you know, episodes that we talk about this. But, you know, NATO, 6.1 million troop strength. And I just want to compare that to maybe a couple of some other pacts or alliances or groups that NATO often is engaged with. I do think it's worth noting that 6.1 million, when you think about size, there is a lot of kind of interoperability or ability for these forces to work together. We do, when I say we, I mean like the United States, right? The U.S. does so many joint exercises with some of these countries and has such close relationship with so many of them. The ability to operate together is flawless or can become flawless with minimal, you know, pre-training. So, or like, you know, you really just hop into some drills and have your plan and then, you know, fine-tune stuff. It's some of these countries are operating the same hardware and equipment as us. If not, we're using theirs, vice versa. We're, you know, there's cross-training. So that 6.1 million, a good chunk of it is pretty efficient together. So 6.1, let's remember that number. Let's see how big Russia, Russian military size is. Now Wikipedia, right? It's probably not the best source to use here, but for the purposes of this conversation, it doesn't really have to be exact. I'm just more curious of what it really is. Let's see how. So Russia, take this into consideration. 1.3 total military personnel. When you compare the NATO force to the current active reserve Russian force, it's like, okay, you know, you could keep a force like that in check. The advantage is definitely on the NATO side. But the total population of Russia is 142 million. Of that, it's estimated that 46 million of that population is fit for military service if needed for conflict. That is significant. And Russia will use conscripts and will do that and refer to that in an effort not to lose. So every year, 1.2 million Russian young teens reach military age. So every year, there's another 1.2 million available. Boom. Another 1.2 million available. Very sustainable for long-term, just unfortunately, stale conflict. I think another one to look at would be China. Total military personnel, about 4 million. You know, so still you're able to keep them in check initially. I think it would have to be pretty quick. Because when you have 4 billion people in your country as a population to draw from for long-term, just sustained kind of conflict or whatever, then it's kind of tough long-term. But if you could kind of eliminate it up front quick, strike when you need to and keep it short. But India, another big one. I mean, India and NATO, I feel like, aren't really ever on the fence with each other, but it's interesting. Their military size is 5.1 million. Their population is a little smaller than China. So India definitely invests a little bit more, I guess, in terms of their reserve or their paramilitary forces. Their active duty is a little bit smaller than China's, but the reserve and, kind of more or less contract military stuff is significantly higher. Well, just before we wrap up this episode, like I said, there's going to be something to come after this one. This was really just kind of an intro. What is NATO or whatever? And I just had another kind of funny story that involved Jerry. So, Americans, we have an interesting humor. We're sarcastic. We joke. We make, interesting comments. A lot of our, NATO counterparts are much more literal. So, I just remember Jerry's very black and white, right? He didn't get that humor as much. He understood it because that's how we are. But, he was, I always used to say he's like this angry little guy, But, so one day, we're in country for a while at this point. We've been there for a little bit. The relationship overall with the Slovenians and us was quite well at this point. But nonetheless, there was individual issues, nothing crazy, just, personality clash. But there was like maybe two or three washing machines. I think there was only two. And they sucked, right? They were awful. But for the most part, the Slovenians were operating from the, our fob or whatever you want to call it at that point. So, we would be like running patrols and stuff. And what happens when you're running patrols and on your foot is a line unit, right? A light infantry unit. And I'm their medic. Like what happens when you're out and about all day? Well, you get fucking dirty and your shit gets so sweaty that the salt makes it just act like it's starch permanently. So it's not like we have an abundance of time to do the laundry, but when we do, our stuff's always full of sand and salt. So typically what happens is we're rushing to find some new clean shit. We put it on. We have whatever dirty stuff that's left, and we jam it into this washing machine, probably fill it too high, and then it clogs because there's just copious amounts of sand that we rinse into this thing. It's like moon dust, really. It was so dry. It's not even sand. It's like, I've never been to the moon. I would imagine that's what moon dust looks like. It's like a, almost like confectionery sugar, but sand. So, I don't know, whoever it was of us, there wasn't that many of us there. There was like 30 Americans on this, at this location, maybe a couple more, maybe closer to 40. Nonetheless, he comes in bitching. He's like, oh, Americans don't know how to do laundry. Every time you guys use it, you fucking clog it. Blah, blah. And that's the type of guy Jerry was. Jerry, when he comes to talk to you, he normally just walks in and he's like, it's a complaint to you because I'm an American. He knows me. Like I'm supposed to, like I'm the speaker for everybody else, right? That's how he would act with stuff. Like I care, Like, okay, Jerry, what do you want me to do? So he was like kind of, you guys are so arrogant, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, Jerry, you know what? I don't think I ever heard you say thank you. And if there was music playing and if this was a movie, I would imagine that the music would stop. Right? The record stops and there's like three Slovenian medics and the American sergeant, myself. And I said, Jerry, I don't think I ever heard you say fucking thank you. And he said, for what? And I said, oh, I don't know, us arrogant Americans winning World War II, so you aren't speaking fucking German. And I felt good about it, right? Shots fired in my head. I'm like, fuck you, Jerry, my buddy. It wasn't like spiteful or anything. I was literally just joking. I would say shit like that to anybody. And, man, he stormed out, and the other three were like, got all mad at me. The American E5, he's like, what? What the fuck was that, buddy? And I'm like, fuck that, dude. He comes in here bitching all the fucking time. Doesn't even say good morning. Doesn't even say hi, right? So now I'm like, all right, I'd probably cause an international incident if I would have to guess. So what do? I grab a piece of paper and I, with fucking crayons, draw an American flag at the top of one side. I draw the Slovenian flag on the other one. And I write like 10 rules. Like one was like, say good morning,
Number two is like, hey, how are you? Really basic human communication skills to not start your day off shitty. And then I signed it and had him sign it. We posted on the aid station that was like, we were good, you know? Hey, treaty's been signed. Well, I don't know if it was like one of our officers or one of their officers saw it, took it, made a photocopy of it, and put it in the joint talk that we had. And it ended up being kind of like a running joke. Like, I went from causing an international incident potentially to signing a peace treaty with a foreign country. But it was funny. I just thought I'd share that story with you. Thanks for listening. There'll be some more. I'm glad that we're back. I missed everybody that listened. I'm glad to see a lot of people were listening to the episodes we had done, you know, over the years, because that number keeps going up every day. So I appreciate everybody. You know, follow us on the Facebook page or whatever, or however you want to get a hold of us. But thanks. Talk to you later.